Welcome to Hope City Church, Melbourne, Australia. Stay tuned for another inspiring message by Pastor Andrew McGrath.
I want to speak to you today about, my title of my message is Faith, the Key to Supernatural Increase. Faith, the Key to Supernatural Increase. I shared with our musicians and our pre-service team that the enemy traffics in silence. David said, when I was silent, my bones grew old. And so the enemy loves it when God's people don't speak. But when we speak, something shifts in the atmosphere. And I told our team that if you study the Old Testament, when prophetic people released a word from God, it went into the spirit realm and it remained until it was fulfilled. Samuel, it said of Samuel, that not one word of his fell to the ground. So when you speak the word of the Lord, when you agree, when you say amen, it is changing the atmosphere around your world, around your neighbor's world, around this church, around this community, and around this city. So all God's people said?
Amen.
So when we speak, the enemy gets afraid. He trembles at the voice, at the sound of God's people. When we give the word of God a voice, it activates angels. When we remain silent, nothing happens. There is no power in the written word on its own. It must be declared and spoken. Are you hearing me? So faith comes when you hear, when you speak. And we build an atmosphere of faith in this place when God's people begin to engage and speak and declare. And I shared with some people even last week, when a message is shared, often it seems like the enemy comes at times to swirl around in the atmosphere. You may or may not realize that, because he is seeking to steal seeds, Mark 4 says, from the ears and the hearts of God's people. That's why at times you're zoning out. You begin to think about what you're going to do next week. Your stomach begins to grumble. Things may offend you. You're thinking about that person. We need to bring our mind into subjection to what God is saying. This is the most important period of time in all of your week. Did you hear that? This is the moment where God does his greatest work. So let every ear be attuned to what God says. Let our mouths be in alignment with God. Because when you speak and I speak together, there's a yes and amen. When there's an agreement between God's people and God's messenger, things begin to happen. Did you get all that?
Yeah.
All right, so come on. Let's practice now. I know we're Australian, but first and foremost, we're kingdom people. Yeah? And Australians don't like to say too much. We like to muse, and there's a place for that. But there's a greater place in the kingdom where we declare the greatness of God. Because the devil trembles when God's people assemble and they begin to speak the word of the Lord. So let's do this together today. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. During the week, I had a dream, and it probably sounds a bit strange because when you look at me, you'll probably laugh a bit. But I had a dream that I had this massive head of hair. I warned you not to laugh, but the hair wasn't just hair, it was dreadlocks. And it was so big, it was like a beehive, it was huge. And in this dream, Karen came along and she helped to manage this mountain of hair for me. And she tied, as it were, the dreadlocks into two parts. There were two ponytails in the dreadlock. What do you dream about? And see, I woke and I knew that God was speaking to me, that hair is a picture of the anointing of God on his people. You know, in the Bible, when Samson lost his hair, you know about the Nazarite vow. We're in a season where God wants to pour out his anointing on his church like never before. If you follow prophetic voices, Bob Jones, Bobby Connor, Paul Keith Davis, they also say that in this season that we are in, God is raising up the dread champions. The two pigtails or ponytails represent a double anointing, a twofold anointing. So we're in a season today where God is pouring out his anointing. In fact, it's a double portion anointing. I don't know if you got what I shared last week, but Matthew 20, the parable of the, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Do you remember I said that the workers worked all day under the heat, and they earned one talent or one day's wage. And the ones that came in the last hour earned the same wage as those that borne the heat of the day. And Jesus said that the last, which is us, shall be as the first. We will get the same day's pay for 1 hour's work that they got through the heat of the day. And the first, which is Jesus, came as the last. He lowered himself. He became poor so you become rich. He bore our pain so we'd live in victory. And we're in a season where we are joint heirs with the Son. Everything that's His is ours. We did nothing for it. We came at the end. It's like we just showed up and we got the reward. We are in a great season, my friend. Are you hearing me? I'm seeing 11:11 almost every day, and I don't look for it. I just see it on my computer. I see it on my phone, everywhere I go. And you may get this same pattern or pictures. Does God speak to us in numbers? He speaks to us in many ways. And 11:11, 11 is a number. If you look at E.W. Bullinger, if you ever care to read his book, which is free on the internet, he says 11 is the number of disruption and disorder, and it is because it's leading to 11 is one less than 12, which is government. So it's that which is preceding government. But 11 is the number of transition. We transition from one place to another. It's also the number of the prophetic. So Joseph was the 11th son. And when he was born for such a time to bring reformation and change to a whole society. And this is the season that the church is in. For those that have eyes to see, it's like we're moving from one age to another. And that's the challenge for forerunners, is that we are both, like Dean said, it's like in between the older than you, between what God has done and what God is about to do. And how do we know if we're there or in between? And so we're seeing, perceiving things that are not yet visible, but we are seeing in the realm of the Spirit. Is that making sense to anybody today? So Jesus is looking for a victorious bride. I said to you that Jesus said foxes have holes and the birds of the air have a nest. There's a realm for the devil to domain. There's a realm for the spirit domain. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's looking, the head is looking for a body to connect to. He's looking for a bride that's equal in power and authority and ability. We're looking so often, the church, to escape, for Jesus to come and rescue us. He's waiting for the bride to come up to the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. So when he returns, the bride is equal to the Son in all his glory. Yeah. Amen? So this is the day that we're in. It's a glorious, glorious day. I shared too from Psalm 128, verse 5 last week. It says the Lord will bless us from Zion and we will see the prosperity of Jerusalem. So what that means is that when God blesses and pours out his anointing and his ability on Jerusalem, it will be evidence to the world of the reality of Zion. Are you getting that? Heaven, our prosperity and victory and overcoming nature will be proof to all of the world that God is real. Yeah. And that's what the world's waiting for an overcoming bride. That's the Bible says that all of creation longs for the manifestation of the sons of God. We don't really recognize it, but there is a groaning that's taking place, and the groaning is not that you would escape, but that you would arise as God's man and woman for the hour. There's so much greatness in you, and my job every week is to call that out, to help you to discover what God has already placed inside. You are more powerful than you realize. Do you remember what I said at the start of the message? You are more powerful than you realize. You can stand and shout, you can agree. You are more powerful than you realize. Amen. You are. I'm not just saying that. The Bible teaches that. And see, it's not what God thinks, it's what you think that matters. It's not what God says, it's what you say that matters. That's the key. God's words are powerful, but if you disagree with his word, then you make his word of no effect. So you've got to agree, you've got to understand that this is the way God sees you. So we're in an amazing time, 11:11, we keep seeing that. Deuteronomy 11:11, which is the children of Israel crossing over from one dimension to another into the promised land. John 11:11, Lazarus, who's asleep, is being awakened. The church is being awakened to who we truly are. We have so much more. than what we ever thought. Did you know that? So Jesus says, you know, when I come back to the earth, will I really find faith? Will I really find people that believe what I say about them to be true? That's what he's saying. And the church just so often gets locked at one dimension. Remember, and I'm just sidetracking a bit, but remember I've taught you that there's three realms of the kingdom. There's salvation, there is sonship, but then there is spiritual dominion. And many people stop at the first level. They're happy just to be saved and go into heaven. And Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin to lead them to salvation, of righteousness to lead them to sonship, and of judgment to lead them to spiritual dominion. We will judge the enemy and all the works that he's done. Yeah. Remember the forerunner anointing of John the Baptist? He came to devour the devourer. Yeah. He came on a diet of locusts. Locust devourer. And our job in this season is to devour all the works of the enemy, to enforce redemption. Are you hearing this? He consumed honey, which was revelation, and he had a camel's hair garment, which is a spirit of provision and prosperity. And this is the season of God's people rising up as a forerunner people to enforce what God desires. And the Spirit and the bride will say, come. There will be such a pull because we'll be so much in alignment. We won't just be raptured like it will be more like a stepping over. There won't be such a going from here to there. It will be such a change. It will be a stepping over from one dimension to another. It will be so natural because we will be like him. That's what I'm after, aren't you? So have you got Luke 5? So it was, as the multitudes pressed about Jesus to hear the word of God. I love underlining things in my Bible, of underline the word of God. That he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and he saw two boats. This is a picture of me fishing. Standing by the lake, but not anymore. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. But anyway, I know what it's like to go fishing, Karen says, and not catch a lot. Two fishermen out there fishing had caught nothing, had worked hard and finally given up. Oh, isn't that a picture of our lives sometimes, of the church? That in seasons gone by, we've worked so hard, we've believed for so much, we've struggled and strived and toiled, and we've been so faithful, coming out week after week, doing the work of the Lord. And it seems like we've toiled and not got a whole lot. Yeah. Has that ever been your picture? Contradictions. Fishermen without fish. And the enemy loves seasons in our life where there are contradictions. You pray for people and they die. Well, that's happened to me. Contradictions. You've believed for breakthrough and it doesn't seem like it's worked. Contradictions. And the enemy loves to scream out, where's God now? Doesn't work. See, you trusted in God. Contradictions. You're incomplete, you're powerless, God's left you, he doesn't love you anymore, you've sinned, you've committed the unpardonable sin. Oh, I've had all those and many more. Contradictions. Fishermen without fish. The enemy has one purpose in mind. He wants to crush your faith because it's faith that moves us into a supernatural dimension to get an unparalleled harvest. We need great faith. And so the enemy comes to assault our faith with contradictions. I have seen many contradictions. People that I loved who have died painful deaths. Things that have gone so terribly wrong. And the enemy says, where is your God now? Contradictions. The deceiver is trying to make a lie look like the truth. He uses physical evidence. Look, I told you, no fish. He's trying to make it look like it's true. There is no fish. God doesn't love you. Why don't you quit? Put your boats up on the shore, wash your nets, and go home and become a politician. I hear there's money to be made in that. Free flights. See, you will be deceived if you don't have revelation into what is really true. See, if you come along and play games with God and just, you know, go through the spiritual motions, but you don't embrace the life of faith and consume the Word and let God transform you, if you just play with God, play with church, you will be deceived and taken out. Because it's revelation that sees beyond what natural man sees that lands you in the life of faith and a supernatural dimension. My evidence for things being true are not circumstances, but His promises. The entrance of God's Word brings light and understanding. I see beyond what others see in the natural. Isaac was deceived by Jacob because he couldn't see in the spirit realm. He relied on natural touch and natural senses. And when you rely on the natural realm to assess where God is, what's going on, you shall be taken out and deceived. Because he didn't have spiritual sight to see. Here's the truth. If I can see the invisible, then God can do the impossible. Did you hear that? If I can see into the invisible realm, God can do the impossible. Let me ask you a question. Was there fish in that lake? There were lots of fish. In fact, there was a multitude of fish. Was it true they didn't catch any? Absolutely. But here's the question. Was it still true that there were fish there? Yeah. Absolutely. So if I can see into the invisible realm, then God can do the impossible. Because I want you to know today that you can go back to that same place of defeat and experience wonderful victory and wonderful harvest. Because there's still fish to be taken. If I can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. He wants to do the impossible. He wants to give you a harvest. So verse 3. Then Jesus, the living Word. See, whenever you see Jesus in the Bible, His name, you have every right to put in brackets the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. So when I read, then Jesus got into the boat, I read it like this. Then the Word got into my heart. What is the boat? A boat is shaped like a heart, is it not? It has that heart shape. It's a container. Jesus got into the disciples' boat. See, that was the problem. They went out and attempted to do something without the Word living inside them. And most times when we fail, it's because the living Word has not been in the boat with us. For I said, if you can see the invisible, God can do the impossible. No word of God is void of power. It shall accomplish that which it set forth to do. When God says, let it be, it is done. It cannot fail. And so I put down every failure in my life to this fact, that there was a time when Jesus was not allowed in my boat. I cannot fail with Jesus in my boat. I know some of you may not believe that, but it's true. You cannot fail with Jesus in your boat. This is not just a little joyride. You permanently put him, nail him into your boat and say, you ain't going anywhere. I need you. Joshua 1:8, you meditate on him day and night. And then you will make your way prosperous and have great success. This is more than just a little memorization. This is the Word getting inside you until you wake up and that's all you're thinking about. I've seen the Word of God. See, it's not just letters on a book. I've seen it come in the Spirit inside me and the literal Word of God begin to go like a wave in and amongst my cells and actually become flesh. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. You become a living epistle. It goes from the Bible into you. See, this is what's going to happen with this dread champion end time church. They're not just going to be a bunch of do-gooders that come to church and read a few scriptures here and there. They will be proclaimers of the word. They will be living epistles. They will shift things in the spirit because of the power that comes out of their voice. Amen. Hallelujah. So the word got in our boat, which was Simon's. And he said, Simon, pull out a little from the land. Don't you love that? You know what? If I'm going to get in your boat, you're going to have to push out a bit from the natural realm. You're going to have to stop reading the Bible like Enid Blyton, like Reader's Digest, like a comic book. You're going to have to pull out from the land and leave behind your natural reasoning and embrace the Holy Spirit and say, breathe on this word and bring revelation to my heart. You got to push off from the land. You got to push off. See ya. No turning back. See, the water is the place of the realm of the Spirit. It's supernatural. And so he sat down and he began to teach the multitudes from the boat. That's when it all changed. Jesus in the same boat with the same people, with the same equipment, and now he's beginning to teach the word of the Lord. What an opportunity. What an amazing opportunity. You think about it. You're in a boat with Jesus who's beginning to unveil the mysteries of the kingdom. Your brain is exploding. Your heart is exploding. You're beginning to perceive things that you've never seen before. I know what it's like when I get a revelation. You can ask Karen. I begin to do a little jig around the living room, getting excited because something that I've never seen before has gone off like a rocket inside, and I've seen something about the kingdom I've never seen before. Jesus began to preach in the boat, and he began to build in Peter's life a faith image that would prepare Peter for the greatest catch of his life. He was about to send him back into a place of defeat as an overcomer. So the word began to work in Peter. See, you're in a boat today. You're in a boat with me. And something's beginning to shift today in the realm of the Spirit over your life. You're beginning to see things in a different way. Jesus began to build a faith image deep inside Peter. I think of these words in Mark 11, verse 22. Many of you know this scripture, and it says, depending on the translation, there's two ways to read this verse. One says, have faith in God. The other, in the Greek, it says, have the faith of God. Jesus is preaching in the boat, and there is a supernatural impartation of faith from Jesus into Peter. What Peter had before is gone, the doubt, the unbelief, and there's been like a transfusion of divine faith. It is the very faith of God. God has faith. He has faith that when he speaks, his word shall come to pass. And as Jesus preaches the word, there is a supernatural impartation. And everyone here today, if you are born again, you have received a measure of the supernatural faith of God that creates worlds. You have faith inside you that can create a different world around you. Are you hearing me? You have divine supernatural faith. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, we believe and therefore we speak, therefore we believe and we speak also. We have a spirit of faith. The Holy Ghost comes and he brings the faith of God inside us. This is not something you conjure up, it's not mind over matter. This is the glorious faith of God himself coming inside you that causes you to see into another dimension. It's the faith of God. It's an amazing faith. Jude 20 says, as we pray in the Holy Ghost, as we pray in tongues, we begin to build up our most holy faith. There is a faith that begins to work and be energized inside us. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, when you begin to commune with Him, He will take that letter that's dry and boring, and you'll read it, and faith will begin to explode in your heart. If you're bored today, if you're disinterested today, if you don't know whether God's real or not, you need to encounter the Spirit of faith. It will make everything right. It will turn a disaster where there's no fish into an overwhelming supply. Have the faith of God. Say with me today, I have God's faith. His very faith lives in me. Wow. God's faith. I'm not trying to make something happen. I'm releasing what's in there, the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to conjure up power in my words. There is power in my words because He lives in me. And when I release the word, His faith goes out from my words and begins to create. That's why I'm a powerful person. Don't mess with me, because the faith of God lives in me. It's a faith that overcomes. It's a faith that stares down the enemy and say, even though I've not caught before, I shall catch now. Yeah. Mark 11, 22, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever, say with me, whoever.
Whoever.
Is that you?
Yes.
Do you fit into whoever?
Yes.
Whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but he believes, and she believes, that the things they say shall come to pass. He shall have, and she shall have, whatsoever they say. That word, shall come to pass, or will be done, is an amazing word. It's a Greek word that actually means it will birth itself, it will come into existence, it will be assembled and manufactured, manifested. In the concordant literal version, it says what they speak is already occurring. So when I speak, the Bible says something is beginning to be assembled all around me. It's coming into existence. It's coming to pass. It's birthing itself. Mark 11, 23. But it doesn't finish there. It says, therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you have, not have, but have received them. Some translations say you have received, but the literal Greek rendering, I believe, is more correctly rendered as this, that you have, past tense, received, and you shall have them. That's interesting. One moment he's saying that you receive them. One minute it says they're being assembled. Yeah. Moffat and Manson say in verse 24, believe that you have received them. Verse 23 says that when you pray, that things will begin to be assembled as you speak. So therefore, I know that when the word gets inside me and I begin to declare, it is as good as done. I have received them. Where is that? It's in the realm of the Spirit. When I speak, it is done. And now it's being assembled in the realm of the visible. Do you see that? It is done here. And I must believe that when I pray, it is a done deal. Yeah. It's done. That's the problem. And if you don't doubt in your heart, I must believe that it's done in the realm of the Spirit, and now it's about to be assembled and manifested in the realm of the flesh. And that's our greatest challenge, because we want it manifested and done in the flesh before we see that it's assembled and done in the Spirit. It's completed in the Spirit and then assembled in the flesh. Mark 4 puts it this way. If you turn with me to Mark 4, 26. The kingdom of God, Mark 4, is the greatest chapter unveiling the kingdom in the teachings of Jesus. He said the kingdom of God is like a man who scattered seed. Do you remember that story? On the ground, and he should go to sleep by night and he wakes in the day. That's a good thing. Young kids, if you're listening, sleep time is night, wake is day. He goes to sleep at night and he wakes up in the morning and he sees a miracle that what he planted underneath is where? It's the realm of the Spirit. He spoke in the Spirit realm And he said, it's as good as done. He didn't dig it up again. He said, right, it's complete. The job's done. He goes to sleep. He wakes up and he sees the manifestation of what he spoke. This is what Jesus is teaching in the boat. He's teaching how to have great faith. Did you see the order? He goes to sleep at night and he rises by the day. God sets up the end first and then he goes back to the beginning. He starts with a finished work. The Jews sleep first. The day begins with rest and then work. Rest and work. Completion and then assembly. You speak, you believe in your heart, it is done. That's the sleep. And then it begins to be assembled. That's the awakening. That's why the Jews read from right to left, because it's a done work and then God goes about assembling. He spoke your life into being and then he assembles it. The fact that you exist means that God has already finished his work. It's done. So we see in the spirit realm that as I speak, it is as good as done. There are things that I have believed for that are about to come to me that are completed in the spirit and now being assembled in the flesh. And as I pray and speak, I need to come to a revelation that it is as good as done. See, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let him not believe that he will receive anything from God. He's tossed by the waves. It's got to come to a place where you know that you know that you know that you know it is mine. And then faith goes to work. The word has become flesh. That word that I planted under the ground is now manifested. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain of the head. In other words, what I planted in my prayer closet and got the revelation that it's mine has now fully formed, and what was in the supernatural under the ground, that same seed under the ground is now a manifested seed above the ground. Yeah. Get that? The blade, the head, the full grain in the head. And what's in the full grain in the head? The same seed that was under the ground. It has manifested. It has manifested. What was sown underneath is now appeared above. This is what Jesus is teaching Peter. Have the faith of God. He speaks the word with full faith that it is done. Then he watches it roll out into reality. That's the power of faith. People are looking for visible before they move. We are believers. We don't operate by feeling. We don't operate by what the world says. We operate by what we believe. I believe. I believe that I was born again, but I was still a rat bag when I walked back from the altar call. Could you believe it? It's hard to believe. But what I believed and got the assurance from began to roll out, didn't it? The salvation was worked out. And look at me now, you couldn't find a greater saint in all of... Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. See, it's in the boat that Peter began to realize that the storehouse of provision was not out there, but it was in here. He began to see that the multitude of fish was inside him. You have a storehouse today. You just have to believe. Everything you need for success is inside you. It's called the kingdom of God. See, the Bible teaches that we have to believe that we've got it before you can receive it. See, you will never be prosperous until you believe that you're prosperous here. You'll never have the things that God wants to give you until you have it here. We want to take it. See, the kingdom of darkness works from the outside in. The kingdom of the sun works from the inside out. We're trying to change our world on the outside. God's trying to change our world on the inside. He wants to give us a crown of life, because when we begin to think like him, then everything begins to change. You've got to believe before you can receive. And so Jesus was building an image on the inside of Peter of success. You're a great fisherman, Peter. There's a lot of fish inside you. Why do you think Peter responded and launched out into the deep? Because something had shifted with Jesus and him in the boat. He said, you know what, we've toiled all night, we've tried before, but you know what, something's different now. I've got you in the boat. Something shifted on the inside. Let's go out for a catch. Something begins to shift about the way we see ourselves. You got to believe before you can receive. The Bible says in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So here's the deal. If there's nothing good to bring out, if there's nothing good inside, there's nothing good to bring out. You've got to develop a storehouse. Where is the heavenly storehouse? Is it up there? Is it over there? Or is it in here? Father, Son, and Spirit said they would make their home inside me. So the storehouse is not something I reach for. It's something I discover inside me. There is a wealth. In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and he lives in me. So out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, as I receive the word, I get a revelation of the abundance. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in the glory realm through Christ Jesus. I begin to discover that in the glory realm inside me, there are riches to unfold. And when you get a storehouse inside you, you can release it. How do you get a storehouse from God? How do you open up the treasures of heaven? By releasing what's inside you. If you speak a word and there's no treasure, there's nothing to release. It's just empty words. That's why some people say, blab it and grab it. Just proclaim. But you know what? There's fear inside. There's doubt. There's unbelief. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't. You've got to build the word inside you till you discover that there is this amazing treasure and storehouse inside you. And when you discover that, you'll release out of your own reservoir. Yeah. You're pulling out what's inside you. That's why, I'll give you an example. I have incredible faith that when I pray for people that need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking tongues, they will be filled. I have a storehouse inside me that I know that I know that I can't fail praying for people. So I, when people say I can't pray in tongues, come to me. I pull out of this storehouse, this revelation, this faith, this reservoir, and bang, they begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I've had people walk down this aisle at the end of a service. I've been praying for years. I can't get a breakthrough. Come to me. Bang, filled with the Spirit. Why? Because there's a storehouse. There's faith. I've built an atmosphere of faith. I've been convinced of the Word. I've wrestled with it. I've sought the Lord over it. And now it's a reality inside me. So when I speak, there's authority. There's a storehouse. And so Jesus is building within Peter a revelation of supernatural supply. See, when Adam walked through Eden, he had four rivers coming out of his belly. How would you like that? See, he was in the Garden of Eden, and when he walked, it was like a shadow. Do you remember Mark 4? The man, he carries a shadow, the angels nest in his tree, which is a belief system. And where he walks, the angels walk. It's a boundary of influence, of faith. I write about that in my book. We don't need to go over that again. If you haven't read it, get the book. But when I have a belief system, it grows a tree, and under the tree, angels nest. There's authority there. There's authority. There's authority. So Adam, when he walked, he carried these four rivers inside him. These rivers were rivers of provision, rivers of insight, vision, fruitfulness. You read the four rivers and the meaning of their names, and he was to walk and carry Eden with him. So when he went out to the wilderness, Ezekiel says, you'll turn the wilderness into a Garden of Eden. How? Because the supply, the abundance is within me, and wherever I walk, I begin to take a dimension of the kingdom. Are you getting this? And this is what faith does. It builds a belief of the supply and the provision of God, whether it's healing, provision, whatever realm it may be. And as I build that, then as I speak, I am drawing out of this reservoir, and bang, it's done. You can't draw out of an empty reservoir and have power in your words. That's why when the seven sons of Sceva, or whatever his name was, when they came to the demon and they said, I rebuke you in the name of, what was his name? Jesus, Paul, Mary, Mark. The demon beat up those boys and ripped their clothes off. and kicked him in the backside and said, get out of here. But when Paul came, he had an authority because he had built a supply. He knew what it was to the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And when he came, demons trembled. So the words on Paul's mouth came out of a reservoir. The words on other people's mouth had no power. Same word, different reservoir. Build a belief system. Those that are like a tree that are planted by the rivers of water, they will bear fruit in their season, their leaves will not wither, and whatever they do shall prosper. Why? Because they have tapped into a supernatural supply of the Word of God. I can't say this enough. Get the Word inside you. Meditate on it day and night. No, not just, oh, I did my little Bible reading in the morning, get up my day. No! No! No, that's religion. That's religion. Get it inside you. Meditate on it. Chew it up. Meditate. Get a scripture. My God will supply all my needs. I can do all things through Christ. And let it get inside you so it becomes. See, that word becomes flesh. It becomes something inside you. When I take that scripture, my God shall supply my needs, or I can do all things, and I meditate, it actually comes alive inside me, and then I can take that and use it. This is what Peter's learning in the boat. Faith is the substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. It becomes alive. It becomes something. So my prayers must have a degree of faith about them. And there's so much unbelief. Oh, Holy Spirit, please come and help me. I've prayed those prayers. Please come and help me. And poor Holy Spirit, not poor, but Holy Spirit's up there thinking, I said to him in my word, I come as your helper. There's no faith in that. There's no substance. I can't draw on his help because I'm not assured, I'm not convinced in the fact that he is my helper. If I said to my kid, you know what, you know, I want you to sit down there, I'm going to help you with your maths homework because I'm a genius at maths. And I sat beside my child, and my child looked at me and said, Dad, would you please help me? I'd be thinking, did you not hear me? Is there something wrong with you? Are you not convinced that I'm able? How many times do I need to tell you? Faith is the assurance of things. It's the evidence of things. And so Jesus speaks, and something goes down inside Peter that he knows, that he knows, that he knows, that he has a supernatural supply. That's why you can go out to places and fail, because the word hasn't come alive in you. Now, I don't like talking about failure. I don't mean to say that you're naughty or you've done wrong. We grow in our faith. But we are now in this generation. Remember dreadlocks, anointing, giftings, the bride becoming like Christ. We won't become like Christ unless we get a revelation of how faith works inside us, how we can draw on a supply, where we're not asking Jesus to bail us out, but we're unlocking the kingdom of God that's within us. The Holy Ghost is largely underutilized, underworked, and is waiting for someone to get a revelation of his work inside us. So when Jesus, verse 4, stops speaking, well, there's a key. There's a time where he's going to stop speaking and you're going to have to start working. You're going to have to start speaking. There'll come a time when there's been such revelation inside you, and then he's going to say, it's time for you to declare. See, the nets represent our voice, the boat, our heart, transformation. But the nets is the voice. And see, if you don't speak and command and declare, you'll never take your harvest. I'm not saying you don't declare until you get your heart right. I'm saying these things happen concurrently. They work together. But you will know there will be a day that you will speak and there will be great authority. We grow in that. So Jesus says, all right, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon said, Lord, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And after they did this, they caught such a great number of fish that he thought his name wasn't Peter, but it was Andrew. But then that was breaking. So they signaled to their partners, doubt and unbelief, to come and help them. And they came and filled both their boats. So they began to sink. Wouldn't you love a day like that, Ben? Where your boat is so full of fish that it begins to sink. It's coming. It's coming. As long as I'm not too far from the shore. So I say to you today, launch out to the deep again because God's got more in store. Launch out to the deep again because God's got more in store. Some of you need to say it over your life this year. God has got more in store. You can remember to say that because it rhymes. God has more in store for me. Launch out to the deep again. Believe again. Some of you were on fire for God many years ago and you've grown cold. Launch out again into the deep. And this time, don't play games. Give God everything. Meditate on His Word day and night. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm married. I've got kids. I've got a job. My friend, you can do it. Don't believe. See, some of you have been, here's a word from the Lord now. Some of you have been sold a lie from the devil. And here is the lie. You cannot, you are not equipped. You are not able to give God your all because you are too busy with too much responsibility. I say from God, that is a lie. Should I say it again? Maybe you didn't get it. I didn't get much of a response, so maybe you don't agree. That is a lie. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You were designed for success, and you were designed by God to meditate on Him day and night. Joshua, who was the captain of the leader of a host of people, millions of people, and God said, look, I know you're busy, but look, do you mind if you just give me a half an hour in the morning and maybe at the weekend go to church? I know you've got a lot to do, Joshua. There's many people to look after. They're hard-hearted. So I know you've got a lot on your plate, but do you mind if you just bring the word in every now and again? No, he said to Joshua, the only way you are going to make it, buddy, is to meditate on my word day and night. And remember, 1 hour of meditation is equal to 100 hours of toil. If you meditate on the word, God will multiply what you've done. You will go out into the ocean and toil and sweat and get nothing for it. And you can go back out on one word from God and get a multitude of fish. It's not rocket science. Launch out into the deep. Start believing today. Here's a thought. That every word you speak shall come to pass. God's been like the clock, the calendar clicked over to January 1 and something went off inside me afresh to a whole new level. Andrew, your words are powerful. Guard your words, watch your words, speak life, speak life, speak life. God said to Samuel, of Samuel, not one of his words fell to the ground. So begin to speak. Speak into your heart. Speak out. Speak, speak, speak. If you abide in me, the word and my words abide in you. You will ask what you desire and it shall be done. There will come a union with the word and you until you feel like you're a living word and you will speak as an oracle of God. Yeah. Honor the word. Honor the word in your life. Oh, it amazes me. And I've done it myself where people hear the word and it's like, oh, whatever. You know, the reading of the word in church and they're picking their nose and scratching their ear and thinking about, you know, dinner, whatever it is. My friend, the centurion, listen carefully, he said to Jesus, I am a man under authority. I say come, and he comes and go and he goes. But I'm not worthy that you would even come under my roof. He's saying, Jesus, I honor you, the living word, and I'm not going to bring you down to my level. Even though I'm a man of ability, you're not under my level. I honor you. I'm not worthy to have you. I'm not going to lower you to my perception and what I think is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. I honor the word because his word is spirit and life. And I have this urgency from God to tell God's people that his word is powerful and living and active. It's powerful. Are you hearing me? So there will come a time when your heart truly believes what he says to be true. There will come a time. And it will supersede all your imagination, experiences, hopes and dreams. It will consume you. There's coming a day, I see it. I've seen into the spirit like a little glimpse of the word, like a little I don't know what it was, but it was actually swimming inside me, in between all my cells. Now, I know you might say that sounds strange, but the word becomes flesh. If I give you a piece of meat, a juicy steak, and you eat it, it breaks down, it becomes you, and it becomes part of you. This bicep, this here was a steak 3 months ago, and it's become part of me. See, if the word doesn't become part of you, it's out the other end. Are you hearing it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's done you no good. Your body's rejected what was meant to bless it. I prepare myself for the living word. And when I, like Peter, let the word get into my boat, when the word is spoken, the nets will go down and there will be a great catch. It's in this dimension that we can enter uncharted waters that the church has never entered before. I told you before, and I'm finishing on this, that the New Testament church was not the high watermark. We are the high watermark. Yeah. The kingdom of God is ever increasing. It's a mustard seed that grows and grows. The way of the righteous winds upwards. And God's going to do greater things through your life, through your faith, through your words, than you can even begin to imagine. This is the season to be consumed with the Word and the Holy Ghost. And let the Word come alive inside you. I know a lot of hands, but it is. I can see it. I can see the church coming alive. And people that were weak and insipid and problems and all sorts of things, God's Word touches them and transforms them. Peter, who denies Jesus, becomes this apostle that preaches on the day of Pentecost. And thousands are saved. Bold as brass. Because the word of God had transformed him. So I say to you today, faith is the key to supernatural increase. Faith is the key to supernatural increase. Faith in God, the faith of God that gets down in my heart. So I believe. I begin to see the storehouse inside me. It's the key to supernatural increase. Faith is the key to supernatural increase. And as I speak his word, it is done in the spirit and it begins to be assembled in time. Your words are powerful, church. Don't listen to the lies of the devil who says your words are nebulous and powerless. He was defeated by the word. God upholds all things by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, because that would indicate there's power in the word and power. The word of his power, the Holy Ghost says, because all the power of God is in his word. There's not power in the word and power in that and power in that. It's in the word of his power. All of God's power is in his word. That's why he's elevated his word above his name. It is powerful. So you go home this week, and you get the word of God out, and you find verses, you get on the internet if you have to, you say, God, what is it I need now in my spirit for this season? Get one or two words, write them out, print them out, make a card, stick them in your bathroom, your toilet, in your car, wherever you find a place you can read and meditate on it day and night. You get that word inside you, so you pray it as you go to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, I've got a scripture, Deuteronomy 28, next to my bedside table that I pray and declare every day over me until it becomes living inside me. Then you'll launch out and get a catch. So why don't you reach your hands out in faith today. God, you are a miracle-working, mighty God. And I declare today that as this word has gone out, it has shifted things in people's lives. They are never going to be the same again. Your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. And it's gone in today. It's going to stir around in their spirit. They're going to think about this word all day, all night, all next week. Something has shifted. And as you've shifted something inside me this year, there's a new anointing. There's a new anointing on your word. So it is in their lives today. And I say, whether you're a baby in the Lord or being in the Lord for years. There is a grace from our Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost for you to encounter the living word and it to transform every part of your life. And you shall declare the word of the Lord, and the enemy shall flee. The name of the Lord in your mouth is a mighty weapon. Is a mighty weapon. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, because you have the word of the Lord in your mouth. Use it, wield it against the enemy, and he shall flee. It will break depression and bondage and sickness and disease and lack and insecurity. And so often people of the Lord have been looking for magic cures. They've been looking for someone to do this or that. But the Lord would say to you today that the power of your deliverance is in your mouth and in your heart. And the same way that you got born again will be the same entrance into transformation that will change you from the inside out. It will not be mind over matter. It will be not you conjuring up some sort of thought pattern inside, but it will be the living word. It will be the faith measure deposit of God that shakes and moves the mountains that you could not move. So I declare that of your people today, Lord, that they are filled with the faith of God. So receive that right now. Holy Spirit is here and He's depositing that measure of faith. He's increasing that. He's stirring that. He's activating that. He's making you aware of it this day. For those who have struggled with the word, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple, keep it simple. Get one scripture. Meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it, meditate on it, and you shall never be the same again. In Jesus' name.